Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody. I'm Randy Dean, No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love, and I believe lesser values than love devolve into BS. Our world is choking on BS. It's time to straighten up, fly high, and love one another in the manner in which Jesus said to his disciples, "By this everyone will know you're my students, you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then Jesus said, as if to up the ante a bit, "Greater love has no one than this, but they lay down their life." And to that end, he laid down his life physically and died a brutal butcher's death on the cross, a lynching by state and religion powers. That's a deadly duo at all times. So that's how love came to explode upon the planet. Historically, we are now in a place where there's a crying need for people to come to grips with that kind of love. And that's why I'm here, have been here for the better part of a decade, talking to you about the pilgrimage, the marathon, the heavy lifting of love. This is my life and calling. This is how I seek to end the rest of my days on this earth. Today is my birthday. I'm 73, the big 7-3, and reminds me that I'm going to stay on task to finish well, finish strong. When this marathon of my life is done, I want to bust through that tape at the end with a big smile on my face, maybe sucking air kind of hard, but I want to run hard, and I want to run hard with the subject and the power and the revelation, the depth, the width, the height, the significance, the audacity, the outrageous nature of love. So today I want to finish a subject I started last week on love and the spiritual refugees. We're going to go to part two of that today. But before we get there, I want to make sure we start the way we always do here and carry forward from that point of reference. I always start with the Lord's Prayer, and then I introduce you to Love's Creed, which we'll do both of those now. If you know the Lord's Prayer, jump in with me. If you don't, listen in. This is a valuable meditation, and it could be easily found if you wanted to look it up. But if you know bits and pieces of it, join me, would you? Here's what Jesus taught us in his wisdom. This one little paragraph, most prayed prayer in history, when he said, "Pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Again, audacious nature of a very short, wise prayer. Now, to a short creed that I wrote, not nearly as beautiful and profound as the Lord's Prayer, but it's a little my Randy's attempt at it. I call it Love's Creed, a little something I wrote, and I offer it to you as a means to just set your rudder for your ship of life to go the right direction. Here it is in total. I'll go back and ask you to repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, repeat after me. I'll give it to you in short bursts, and you make it your own the best way you can. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. If you'd like a copy, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. All lowercase, Randy Dean Ministries. All one word, randydeanministries@gmail. Be my pleasure to send you a copy if you're so inclined and interested. Okay, I want to jump right into part two of Love and the Spiritual Refugees. As of the first day of 2019, this is March 25th, 2026. As of the first day of 2019, my wife and I retired from the church we had pastored for 30 years. Been pastoring 50 years at that time, and now 50 years plus. But my main goal at the time was to set my course to love and to listen to the 45 million people who had departed from the Church of the USA since the turn of the century. It became increasingly obvious to me that the Church of the USA was in crisis. It was dropping fast, in as much as attendance is concerned, and perhaps other means too. But I wanted, as a lifelong minister, my life is invested in the church in general, the church specifically. But I've given my life, and I mean with love and with passion, not just some kind of simplistic simpleton's idea of getting a job and, you know, aiming at making a lot of money and retiring. That sure didn't work, the making a lot of money part. But I retired, and I retired not to escape the work I was doing, but to go back and find out what went wrong. I own my part of being at the helm of this ship of church, the ship of state of the church, and I'm not immune to having contributed to why 45 million people exited the church since the turn of the 21st century. And what I mentioned last week is that 75% of people in the United States remain committed to being and avowed spiritual people. They haven't given up on their spirituality. They've given up on the brick and mortar of the church, and as I call it, Church Incorporated. They walked away, and they walked away rather loudly. Pastors all through Catholic and Protestant segments of the church have been dropping like flies. I talked about that some last week, but to just rehearse one moment of that, pastors increasingly found themselves in a place where they were doing everything they could, working as hard as they had to work and could work, and doing everything they were taught in college and seminary, and they realized, wait, this is not working. I'm dropping. I can't keep the church alive. I can't keep it functioning and working. And so the futility of that has just created a lot of victims in the pastoral and priesthood of America. Now, to a little bit of a turn of the conversation here today, I want to discuss with you the some of the layers I introduced last week, but take that a little further. I when I started out this journey of being alive to love. I looked for a memorable title for who I am. I'm a consecrated bishop. But with a little conversation here and there, some folks encouraged me to go with no BS bishop, no more BS. Now, that the BS factor of church in the United States has been pretty deep and wide. The BS factor, just again to borrow from last week, the BS factor of pastors telling people to live a holy life and to eschew evil and to be upright and moral and be good boys and girls has been betrayed by pastors who have dropped like flies in sexual immorality and other kinds of abuse. And the power differential abuse of pastors over people has been astonishingly revealed in multiple layers, multiple places, multiple denominations, and there's no denying it. That problem of the BS in church thinking is, I think, the result of BSing people about why you should go to church so you can avoid hell and go to heaven. Now, it isn't usually stated quite that simplistically, but the truth is, that's how it works. If you come to church and you pay your tithes and your offerings and you're good boys and good girls, you have a better chance of hitting heaven and not going to hell. Once again, that's overly simplified, but it's how it works. And people have come to realize, excuse me, that, well, that's just BS. I'm not going to live my life under that kind of shame and that kind of pressure anymore. I've got enough shame and pressure in my life as I live and work and raise a family and love the community and the nation I'm in. I've got enough shame and pain in me without having spiritual shame and pain. So that has entered the scene, and people have gone wise. And God bless them for growing wise to that shell game. And it is. It's a shell game to bait and switch and just be a people of being maneuvered and manipulated. Folks are done with it, and especially as it relates to spirituality. When my wife and I retired from our church in 2019, one of the things we committed to was to learn from the spiritual refugees, not to go to them and tell them on any level to get back to church, but to listen. When Jesus said there was a sheep that left the fold of 100 and they were missing, the shepherd went out looking for that sheep, put that sheep on their shoulders and brought them back home, not to shame and blame them, but to recover what was lost. And I think this is a grand time for the churchianity, the Christianity of America, to recover what's been lost. We have lost significantly. Now, I know there are exceptions to that rule, and various denominations and individual churches here and there are holding their own, but they're the exception, not the rule. Overall, the decline of church and organized religion in the United States is well documented, and it's now well known by anybody paying attention. And by the way, I'm paying attention. Now, to that end, I want to make sure in paying attention that I own my stuff. Now, let me reflect a little bit on my birthday. Today is my birthday as I record this. I'm willing to own my own stuff. I have people say I have no regrets in this life, and I just don't live that way. I have a commitment to the 12 steps of AA that keeps me routinely sustaining some kind of healthy internal moral inventory, so that when I find regrets, I own them. I regret A or B or C or D or E, F, G, and all the rest of the alphabet, and some sub headings under that outline. Now, I know I can overdo regret and overdo the introspection factor, but when you have a healthy self-awareness, you look back and you realize, oh my, now in my case, I can easily look back and realize I've contributed to what became the decline of the church in the United States. Not intentionally, of course. My every intention in me from the time I was 19 to the first day of 2019, I had every intention of pastoring and seeing a flourishing church that I was associated with and connected to and sustaining. And I say with clear authenticity and honesty, that did not happen. And I can also say with honesty that most pastors in the United States have had that experience at this stage in their life. So in this stage of my life, I look back and realize I was amiss as I regulated myself in the big bad world around me. I was amiss in my communication skills. I got way too accommodating to speaking the language of the church and not the language of the big bad wide world around me. And if you know anything about things like the book of Acts and what happened on the day of Pentecost, what we know is that after Christ was resurrected, he told the disciples to go wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Spirit. Well, they did. And in the book of Acts, early in the book of Acts of the Apostles, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in languages they had not learned, which were languages easily understood by the gathering of the Jewish people and other folks into Jerusalem at that particular time for the Feast of Pentecost. They came running to that upper room and said, "Who are you people speaking the wonderful works of God in our languages? How do you know this?" Now, that's a short version of this, but it's an example that as a churchman and as a leader in the church, I did my best at times. I was an 18-year veteran of a school board, a public school board, not a Christian school board, a public school board. And one of the things I deeply appreciated about it was it moved me out of the easy-peasy language of church, and it moved me into the languages of the world around me. Just like the day of Pentecost moved the disciples out of their easy-peasy little closed-off cloistered way of thinking and moving the vernacular of what they knew to each other. So, as much as I attempted to speak the language of my world around me, if I could click my heels like Dorothy and go back home, one of the things I would do is I would learn to speak in a clear version of what I believed spiritually and in faith, to move beyond the brother, sister, we have this ministry, we have that ministry mindset, and look at people as people, not as objects to get into my pews. And to know that when I'm talking about my church in ways that I have grown accustomed and rather lazily accustomed to, the people listening to me outside of that don't have a clue, nor should they have a clue, because they weren't raised in that manner. And more and more and more and more and more now here in the USA, people are not raised to speak our language. Here's a little example of what I look back and I regret. I wish I had changed sooner. And that was when I was a young lad in church and I first came to faith. Excuse me. Hang on a second. All right. Sorry about that. Our church, the denomination that I came to faith in, referred to everybody as brother or sister. So if you were John Smith, you were Brother John, or you were Brother Smith. Or if you were Mary Smith, you were Sister Mary or Sister Smith. And while that was our vernacular, it was our communication, I remember early in that in those days, right out of high school, a friend of mine started coming to church with me. And one of the first things he asked me about was, What in the living hell is going on with you people calling each other brother and sister? He said, that's weird. We don't talk like that in the big world around us. Now, this is in the 70s, folks. And this guy who had never been in the doors of a church like ours was flummoxed. Like, what? What are we doing? I don't want to be Brother Leo. I just want to be Leo. That's an example. And I stayed with that brother and sister mindset for a very long time. And I just know that it took me a while to unplug myself from that way of referring to people. That's an example. I mean, it's just a small example. And I could give you 1,000 more examples. For instance, I was reading a church website the other day, and I could tell this church they're not talking to people outside the church reference. They're talking to folks that are in other churches, and they're fishing in the barrel of other churches to say, hey, try our church because we do this and we do that. And if that's what you're looking for, we've got it. I could see that. I mean, that's BS, folks. That's just making yourself available to folks in other churches that may be disgruntled. By saying, hey, we have a children's ministry. All right. Why isn't that just a service to parents who have children? We have a school for our gatherings during the time of our adult gatherings. We have a place for children to gather. That's my point. People hear children's ministry on the outside of the church listening, and they go, wait, what does that mean? What are we talking about? Is that catechism? Is it confirmation? We just need to make sure, again, one example among hundreds, we need to make sure we're really speaking the language of the world in which we are. We are plugged. The people to whom we are related all around us. And see to it that because of love, that's my issue here for spiritual refugees and love. See to it that because of love, we are not assuming you have to understand us. We're assuming we, because of love, need to do the heavy lifting of a better job of communicating. I look back again. I regret that I did not learn that lesson more readily or quickly in my own ministry. And yet, here I am, and this old dog is going to learn new tricks all the rest of his days, I surely hope. And one of the means by which I'm doing that is sustaining this podcast available, and I make sure that I'm speaking as much your language as I know how, and I'm open to questions if I say something. For instance, I referred to Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost. If you have no idea what that is, I understand. It's second nature to me, but it may not be any kind of reference point for you at all. And if you have a question about that, email me, randydeanministries@gmail.com. Okay, well, I can see my time is clicking down. So this is who I am, why I am, what I'm doing in this stage of my life. Reaching out to those 45 million people in this nation who have exited. They've seen the exits are clearly marked from places of worship and faith, and they have stepped away. And there are multiple reasons. I covered last week some, and I've covered a few today. But this is a subject of deep passion for me. And here's why. Because I believe the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And to put it in the last example, speak the language of the people you meet. Read the room. Read the faces. And don't assume they should know what you're saying. Be a lover with more kindness and more compassion for the people you meet. Because the biggest mistake you make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said it this way, go into the world today and love the people you meet. And I would add, not just the church people, all people. Love the people you meet, no matter what they look like, no matter what they sound like, no matter what their language or conversation may be. Love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Because love, my friends, is the only answer. And laying down our life for the sake of love is what Jesus said real friends will do. One last thing I'm known for and I challenge you with here, and I understand this is a tall order, but that is to find a way to look people in the eye. Give them the three most holy, magical, and charmed words in the human language. Those three words are, I love you. Make eye contact. Don't just slide it out there like you're saying, see you, goodbye, I love you. Give it full intentionality. It's weird, it's awkward, and people will look at you like you're weird and you're awkward. But it is worth the exercise. It's worth it for our souls. And as I said today, it's worth it to speak the language of humanity around us. Folks, we're living in a time in the United States of America when we need the regulation of love to manage our differences. Jesus also taught us to love our enemies. He didn't say, just get along and just agree with your enemies. No, he didn't say that. He said, love your enemies. Now, what is that going to require of me? That's going to require of me to regulate my heart so that when I disagree with my enemies, I do not become disagreeable. I do not demonize my enemies, but I find a way to regulate the way I feel and think about the world and love people, who they are, where they are. All right. Well, again, it's been a pleasure to be with you. I sure appreciate you giving me a half an hour of your life and time. You can catch me on Facebook Live every Sunday night, 6 p.m. Central Time. I'm there for a half an hour of that on Sunday nights. Sunday Night Sanctuary is what I call it. I serve communion there. And I also give a short homily, a little message, so that I can inspire and enlighten and encourage people along the way in their journey. I'm speaking to that group of people I lovingly call spiritual refugees. They are people who have grown wary of the church, where the heavy weight of church shame and church expectations is just too much. And so, Sunday night, Facebook Live, 6 p.m. Central Time. Also, watch my Facebook, Randy Dean. Just look me up on Facebook. I'm dropping something I'm calling On Deck. It's just a 5, maybe 6 minute little encouragement or a passion on my mind and my heart. I'm going to do that today as I leave this recording. I'm going to do a short reflection of 73 years and talk about how I'm determined to live my remaining days with a passionate love for the people around me, whoever they are, whatever their station in life is, whatever their belief systems are. I'm determined to live a passionate love so that the love of Jesus in me, even if it requires me to shut up and listen, the love of Jesus in me is going to be communicated in a language that people can understand the best way I know how, each and every day. All right. I do love you. If nobody said it to you lately, listen to me tell you. Imagine I'm looking you right in the eye right now. I love you. Rise and shine, you all, and happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/Randy Dean Ministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.